Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Welcome, listeners, to our new program today. It's called Wellness Works, Everyday Keys to Better Living. I'm your host today, Bob Benson. I have a little bit of background in physical therapy, master's in physical education, and I am a pastor. And today, I am excited because we have a special guest on our radio program, and that's Dr. Kim Azelton. So welcome, Kim.
Oh, thank you.
Good to have you here today. So we're going to be talking about being healthy through the holidays. But before we get there, to get some credibility to who you are, tell us a little bit about your training and how you decided to go into medicine anyway and what you're doing with your career.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here and get to know you guys. I'm in the Lansing area right now. So I did my training in family medicine. So primary care physician was trained down in Loma Linda, California, a lot sunnier than here, but there's no four seasons there. So it's great to be back in Michigan. So I run a nonprofit clinic here in the Lansing area in both family medicine as well as lifestyle medicine. When I was in residency, which is where is the time frame that doctors are trained in a specialty, I did two specialties, lifestyle medicine and family medicine, and really enjoy both, kind of this joint unity of being able to get at the root cause of people's problems and be able to do a lot of education as well as the medical side and spiritual care. And I really enjoy that. And so being on a program like this, Wellness Works, is right up my alley of how we can actually make the holidays healthy and happy.
Awesome. Great. And yes, we are just a little bit over a week away from Thanksgiving coming around the corner here. And after that, of course, there's the Christmas and the New Year's. And let's talk about the holidays. What make them so challenging anyway?
Yeah, I think we get ourselves into a lot of ruts during the holidays. Actually, maybe don't make it quite as healthy and as happy as we might want to be. Let's maybe play a little mental game of, like, I'm just thinking back through of, you know, when I think about the different holiday gatherings that I need to go to or that I need to prepare for, like, what kind of runs through my head? What's my strategy? What's my approach? How does that switch my normal routine? I don't know, maybe you have some secret strategy that you have, Pastor Bob. What are some of the things that run through your head of going to these different gatherings?
So what I'm going to do, because this is a major mountain for many people, we need to have prayer before we get further into this conversation. What are you saying? Father God, we just want to thank you that you are not only the creator of everything that is good, you created mankind in your image and your likeness. And then when we sinned, you provided for our salvation. Lord, but we know too that as a creator, you also created laws of health, that if they are observed, we can have that more abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And that includes better health and longevity. So Lord, we just ask that you would just guide us now in our conversation as we seek to empower our listeners to have a wonderful holiday season while maintaining self-control, and that they would glorify their body temples in whatever they eat, drink, and do. These holiday seasons, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, talking about the holidays, here we go. Thanksgiving. Why is it such a challenge? For me, it's a challenge because of this. There are foods that only are made at Thanksgiving. And I think about every family has some tradition of what it is. For my wife, it's making the gluten casserole like her mother did, like her grandmother did. And it's got a lot of nuts. It's a concentration of high calories and oh, yum, delicious. I don't know, Kim, what about you? What did you guys do for your family traditions?
Oh, I think our family is a pretty traditional, you know, turkey and the whole bit when we have like the whole entire family get together, and Christmas is a huge spread. So, you know, a lot of things can go through our minds that it's everyone. You only see them once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking, oh, grandma's going to want me to eat XYZ dish. Yep. And like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, it's very tempting to pile it on, or, you know, it's like you don't see these people a lot, and mm-hmm. so it's like, what's a strategy to make it feel more comfortable? Mm-hmm. Well, if you have something on your plate and you're mm-hmm. eating, you know, it kind of makes it more socially less awkward. Or, you know, if the kids are acting up, I don't have kids, but just hearing you know, other people kind of go through different holiday struggles, you know, feeling judged by other in-laws that maybe they don't see a lot, and, you know, trying to keep the family together. Yeah, it can be stressful.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is, for you, it's more of a social thing, interaction, family time. You don't want to offend grandma because she went to all the trouble to make this delicious dish. And so you don't want to not eat it and make her feel like you don't appreciate it. For me, it's on the other side. It's like, man, if I don't get some of that food today, it won't be coming back around for another year, and I sure don't want to miss the opportunity. So for whatever reason that you are coming to Thanksgiving, whether it's because you care about your extended family and their feelings, or you don't want to let opportunity go by, that puts us in a position of overeating usually. And having to live with that afterwards with regrets and New Year's resolutions that we're going to lose weight and get back in shape. So how can we prevent this? Or what's a better way to go forward?
Yeah, I think we're going to approach some of these strategies and today in this segment and realize, wow, there's actually a lot of cognitive distortions. I don't know if you've ever heard that word before, cognitive distortions. That we approach things with and can actually be pretty harmful and actually make a happy holiday maybe not so happy.
Okay, tell us about some of these common cognitive distortions.
So that's, we'll go into it a little bit later as well, but all or nothing thinking is like, oh, you know, I was on this diet before the holidays and I had one, you know, one of the wedding cookies is what's blood. At these Christmas, or at least my Christmas gatherings, I had one, whatever, I'm just going to eat it all. I'll go on a diet again in January. It's just kind of one, you know, one little slip up and you feel like I've messed it all up, you know, and then you're off to eating your old ways for the next 2 months until New Year's is done. And that's an easy one to slip into.
Easy to do. Yeah. Very, very easy.
There's actually the average calorie intake during Thanksgiving, Christmas. I look at this in studies as 6,000 calories, you know, 5,300 to 6,000 calories just at Christmas dinner. That's insane.
That's
amount
a lot.
Of calories.
That's a lot. Wow.
3,000 is a normal daily caloric intake. For like a normal sized adult person.
Right. So we're talking double or more the normal caloric intake.
Right. Yeah. That can make a big difference. And when we look at the studies, we see that the average weight gain over, you know, from about end of November through New Year's is anywhere from 1 to 3.3 pounds, depending on which studies that you look at.
Wow.
Just in a month and a half.
That's amazing. When I was living in Modesto, I lived at a doctor's house while I was doing some physical therapy there part-time. And he had gone on a cruise and he had taken off all restraints and he ate whatever he wanted to eat. And he had a heart attack not long after. And they traced it back to the high fats and all that, saturated fats that he took in.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any impact on people who overeat and eat these high, densely caloric foods, saturated fat oftentimes?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things have you found in your studies?
No, that's not just a one-off story, unfortunately. It's actually very sad that the happiest time of the year can turn out to be some of the saddest with some of the habits that we've developed as a nation. And yeah, holidays are higher incidence of heart attacks. There's about 15% more heart attacks during the holidays in general, if you look over the entire year. If you even look at different other nations, not just the U.S., and look at their holidays, when there tends to be the most, you mentioned a particular type of fat, saturated fat, which we could have an entire segment on just fat, because not all fat is created equal, and we want to have healthy fats that can actually protect the heart. But we tend to have a lot of the unhealthy fats during the holidays. And Christmas Eve across the world seems to have the most heart attacks. So 37% higher number of heart attacks than average throughout the year. That's a big difference for just one day, one meal, one social gathering.
Wow, that's amazing. 37% higher than average. So that means something must enter the bloodstream quickly and helped facilitate this.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Of course, it's following Thanksgiving, and there's already probably been a...
Sure. And there's a lot of social stressors during that time. You know, it's not just that. You know, people tend to drink a lot of alcohol during that time. That's very hard on the heart. In January of this year, the World Health Organization came out with a statement saying that there is no healthy amount of alcohol for the heart.
Wow, what a statement. That seems to go against conventional advertising wisdom out there.
It does.
That's amazing.
But you look at the studies and red wine is better than other types of alcohol. It has something called resveratrol in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually comes from the grapes that the alcohol was fermented from.
Mm-hmm.
So that resveratrol is an antioxidant that is, it is healthy for the heart. A bunch of unhealthy people that now switch from a very unhealthy alcohol to a red wine. And sure, it is going to be a little bit better for the heart, but mm-hmm. it's still fermented alcohol that also clouds the mind and makes it difficult for self-control.
So what I hear you saying is that you can get that resveratrol with an unfermented grape, or an unfermented grape juice, that you don't need to have alcohol to get the benefits of the antioxidant fighting capacity of resveratrol, et cetera. Am I understanding you correct?
That is a brilliant idea. That's exactly what we should be doing. You don't want to take a little bit of food that has rat poison in it just to get the benefit of the food. That'd be kind of silly, right?
That would be, definitely. So you mentioned this is even called a syndrome, which I wasn't aware of, holiday heart syndrome, alcohol. That's amazing. That makes sense, though, because I think I haven't done the studies on where is the most common consumption of alcohol. My hunch is the holidays is definitely going to have a ramp up
yes.
in the amount drunk.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, New Year's, Christmas, at least in the U.S., every country has their different holidays. But yeah, holiday heart syndrome, there tends to be more heart arrhythmias during the holidays, and it's thought to be due from alcohol consumption. I work in the hospital as well as, here in the clinic. And yeah, I totally see it that people come in, maybe they already have a predisposition to a heart arrhythmia, and the holidays kick them over the edge with the higher fat, the more alcohol, more social stressors, more of kind of everything, and that tips them over the edge to make a happy holiday. It's in the hospital, and that's not what we want to see. I want to work myself out of a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You're a physician, so yes, and that's what we're trying to do here in this program is trying to maximize your health by reducing your risks through responsible lifestyle decisions.
Right.
So we're coming up on a break here in about 3 minutes, Kim. As we're getting ready, Dr. Kim, as we're getting ready to move ahead, it's like, here's this mountain. I think most of us have hit this holiday season on the wrong side multiple years.
Mm.
And so how can we lay a foundation to do something better this time?
Mm. We need something better. People may be listening to the first half of this segment and be like, man, they're party poopers. They don't want us to eat all the fun stuff that we only get to eat once a year. I think if people keep listening to the second half of the program, they're going to find out some really healthy and happy ways to be able to not just survive the holidays, but actually thrive through the holidays and maybe think about the holidays a little bit different with a little bit less of their cognitive distortions.
Okay, great. And we're going to get back to those cognitive distortions here when we come back for our next segment. So I want you to stay tuned and we'll be right back.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
This is your host, Bob Benson, welcoming you back to Wellness Works, Everyday Keys to Better Living. And our guest today, again, is Dr. Kim Azelton. Kim, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
We're looking to go to segment number two right now. And tell me, Kim, we're talking about how people, when they come to this, I would call it a mountain of food for Thanksgiving and Christmas, what are the different types of people and how they respond to this temptation or this invitation to potentially overeat and indulge, bulge, or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I think we're maybe a little discouraging last segment of like, wow, yeah, I approach the holidays all wrong. But there are actually people who approach the holidays and survive the holidays without a lot of weight gain. We talked about last time how, you know, people on average in the U.S. gain anywhere from 1 to 3.3 pounds. But there's some other studies where they compared normal weight people going through the holidays and like, okay, how did they approach the holidays? What happened with their weight? What was their kind of intentions and stimulus control during the holidays? And they compare that to people who had successfully lost weight. So they looked at people who lost 34.9 kilograms. That is a lot of weight. And they kept half that weight off for at least 6 years. I would totally call that successful weight loss.
So you're talking about over 10 pounds. They lost over 10 pounds and kept it off for years. That is great. That is a strong, it's fighting against the odds because what do they say, 95% recidivism of once people lose weight, they regain it all back. So to do that is very amazing.
Yeah, these people are successful. So great group to study on how they approach the holidays. So they look at their intentions at the beginning of the holidays. And yeah, these people were determined. They're like, yep, we're going to keep what we're doing through the holidays. We're going to keep physically active. But it's interesting what happened with these two groups of people. The group that were the successful weight loss folks, they 38.9% of them gained more than 2 pounds during the holidays. That's actually higher than some of the averages in the studies. And the normal weight people, only 16.7% of them gained more than 2 pounds.
Wow. So that's got to be discouraging if you've lost that weight and then you come in and you know how hard it was to lose that weight in the first place. And now you find yourself, you've overeaten and you've gained more weight than your friend who, well, they didn't gain much and you got a lot more to lose than they do. So how do you help people like that?
Exactly. I think the first thing to recognize is that we are just plain more vulnerable during the holidays. We talked about heart attacks in the first segments, you know, people who are already kind of on the edge. you know, a high fat diet, some alcohol tips them over the edge. Same thing here. Somebody who's successfully lost weight are put out of their normal schedule, are put back to some old temptations, are put back in a social situation of people that aren't following the same lifestyle that they've, you know, chosen for the last couple of years. They're put at risk. It's a high risk situation. I think that's important to recognize, just going out of the gate towards the holidays.
Wow, that's an amazing thought. So when you're approaching Thanksgiving, you're about ready to eat, you are at risk. I guess if you're older, if you have you already have some health issues, you're putting yourself at real risk for heart attacks and other problems during the holidays you don't want to face. So we need to talk about how we can approach this in a way that we're not going to be experiencing those problems.
Exactly. And so much of it has to do with mindset of, like, you're at home. I don't think we always realize that the new mindset that we've adopted when we've chosen a healthier lifestyle of the food that you have in the fridge, you know, you don't go to the grocery store and buy unhealthy food anymore. But now you're at the holidays and there's all the unhealthy food right out on the table, so easy to grab, and a lot of social pressure to grab it.
Mm.
So, you know, thinking through, like, why did I go through this work of weight loss in the first place? Like, what is the new me for what my lifestyle is? Is the holidays really all about food? Is that really what the holidays are about?
Yeah, certainly it's not. It's you talked about the social connection earlier and how important that is. And maybe it's kind of retuning our mindset as we go in. It's not the food that's important. It's the people.
Exactly.
And that might help us to limit what we take in, because we want to spend more time talking and networking and developing deeper bonds with our family and the friends through the holidays.
Yeah, no, exactly. And food is certainly bonding, but it's really all about the relationships. And that's, I think, very important to keep top of mind. And, you know, if you're bringing a new you to the holidays, let that show. And let that be a conversation starter. Let that be part of the relationship and part of the bonding, rather than letting yourself slide back into some of your old eating habits.
I imagine at some point, too, maybe segments down the road, learning how to cook healthier for the holidays may be assistive as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing healthier food to the holidays. If you're going to have food out, maybe it's going to be some vegetables and some healthier choices, and put the heavier fatted foods and those kind of things more in the refrigerator, so it's less convenient to get to.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It's very tempting to spend a moment on that, of actually bringing some of your favorite new dishes that you've learned to enjoy in the healthier options, and bringing those and sharing those with your friends and with your family, where you know have some of the healthy fats, or you have we do a lot of health programs here in the Lansing area, and time again, people will say, wow, healthy. I didn't know healthy food could taste so good.
That's right.
And we encourage people during the holidays to actually bring some of your favorite healthy dishes to share with your friends and your families at that time. And some people, they really want to be healthy during the holidays. They have to bring everything they want to eat to the dinner.
Good point. You mentioned something that was off mic, that sometimes at family gatherings, you brought the food you could eat because the other food was so much loaded with either cholesterol or fat or whatever it was. It's calorie dense. And if you wanted to survive, you needed to take something a little bit healthier.
So. Yeah. And oftentimes I'll find at the holiday table that the food that we brought, which is, you know, some healthy option, that'll often be gone first, when the other food will still stick around. Like, you know, people like it a lot. And it's not like the old myth where, oh, healthy food tastes bad. No, it's actually really great for the holidays. It can be very, very special.
Yeah, but when you walk out the door and you're heading back to your home, you don't have a feeling of sludge walking through if you've eaten healthy. Whereas if you have eaten a lot of heavy fats, You may very much have that feeling as you head for home. So.
Exactly right. So these successful weight loss people who gained a ton of weight, or, you know, maybe other people that are kind of predisposed or at risk during the holidays, it's easy for those people to get into a little bit of a cognitive distortion and think, you know what, I'm just going to be overweight. I'm just unhealthy. And it's just the way it is. And it can, you know, that can be kind of discouraging. It's like, I look at food and I gain weight. It's easy to think.
That it is.
There is a different approach. I mean, I think we're both sitting here looking at this chart of what contributes to our health. And I think a lot of times maybe we say, oh, I'm just overweight because of my genetics. You know, everyone in my family has been that way. And I shouldn't have a caveat. You know, if you are really not losing weight, there can be medical reasons not to lose weight. Thyroid problems, sleep apnea, some other things that do need to get tested for. And certainly talking with your physician to get those tested or to look at your specific situation, that is important. But when we look at big studies of a lot of people, genes contribute probably around 10% to your weight pattern or your body shape. That's not a lot.
That's not. So it's kind of interesting. Well, it's 10% a contribution. Probably it's more sociological forces that generally probably closer to 70, 80, 90% of offspring do kind of tend to mimic their parents and their lifestyle choices. So they have the same medical struggles.
That seems to be what it is time and time again in the studies, is the environment we surround ourselves with, maybe the only environment that we know. And then our choices kind of build out of that social structure or those thought patterns that we've been taught or that we've adopted.
So we're talking about the determinants of health. So 10% go with genes and biology. What about this physical environment? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the physical environment, also about 10%, but then that ties in pretty closely with the social and economic factors, which is about 40%. So that added up together, around 50% of our makeup for our health is, again, related to this stuff of how we were brought up, the social economical environment, kind of the constructs that developed out of that, what we saw our family do, what we saw our parents eat, grandparents, all of that type of stuff. And guess what? The holidays is going right back with that social construct and how, you know, kind of the very place that we were brought up in, a mix of all of that social construct.
Right.
And so it's pretty strong. We're going back to 50% of the determinants of our health when we go to holiday gatherings with family.
So when I look at the physical environment, I like to exercise. So when I'm heading down to Tennessee with my kids, they got heels. Michigan doesn't have. And it's like, awesome. Now I can go running. I can work on that submax heart rate and I can really push it. And I get more exercise there than I do here. I love that environment. So when I look at this physical environment, I kind of think of that, but it might not be what they're really talking about.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, that's a really good example of a positive influence that your family and the environment has on you, that it's a place where you feel like you can be more physically active. Normally during the holidays, most people are less physically active, but you're actually bringing a lot of positive things to the table.
Yeah.
Which we can do. We can bring to our family and encourage them to maybe do something more physically active that's fun for the whole family.
Yeah. Excellent. So clinical care, you know, where does that factor in for determinants of health?
Well, for all the healthcare providers out there, I have sad news for you. So what we do in the clinic, healthcare providers or clinicians, it really only contributes about 10%. So, you know, the medications, the, you know, surgeries, think of all that stuff is very helpful and used properly. It saves lives and definitely need appropriate testing at appropriate times. But that overall, when you look at the big picture of things in your whole life, it's about 10%.
So is that because medicine is largely after you are running into trouble that you go get help, and so it's not so prophylactic, it's not preventative in nature? Is that kind of why it's such a low percentage?
Yeah, I think you definitely hit on a key piece of it, because if you look at the rest of the chart, it's mainly our choices that affect our health. So 30% is our health behaviors, and of course that's highly influenced by our environment and social economic factors, which is 50%. And so if, you know, we're out there outside of the clinic making all these different choices, and then we come into the clinic and it's kind of, you know, we're chasing our tail here and talking about different medications and things that can help with the health problems, rather than, you know, really flipping that around and saying, okay, let's get to the root cause and let's get to the bottom of what's causing this so we can prevent it in the first place. So maybe you don't need those medications, or potentially eventually you'll be able to get off of some of those medications. And so, yeah, that's I think you hit a key piece of that, is if we took into account all the choices that we make into clinical care, then we can make a much bigger difference.
So we can't do a lot about our social economic factors per se. Our genes and biology are pretty much fixed. Physical environment, we live where we live. Clinical care, that's pretty much constant. The major area then that we can really have a major impact in our decision-making is our health behaviors.
Yeah, and I'd love to spend the rest of our time mainly talking about that, because like you said, we can make a big difference. And yes, even during the holidays, it can make a huge difference in both our mindset and choices and everything else.
So that leads to the question of, can people change? So I'm married, and I am aware that many wives would love to see some changes in their spouse. Many have pushed very hard for change, and the harder they pushed, it seemed the more resilient their husbands became in not changing. So the question is, can we overcome these habits that we've deeply embedded to change, actually, and make better choices?
That's a really, really good question, and I'm sure all the women out there, and probably quite a few men, are perking up their ears right now to see what we're going to talk about. And I really think we should probably do a whole segment on how do we form habits, how do we make decisions, how do we support other people that are trying to make new habits, because that is worth a whole conversation all on its own.
All right, and we're right at the break, so we're going to sign off for this segment right now, and we'll be back in just about a minute. So stay tuned, and tune us back in just a second.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back, listener. You're tuned into Wellness Works, Everyday Keys to Better Living. And so our guest today is Dr. Kim Azelton. And Kim, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
So we're on to our last segment here, and we've identified the challenge, going to the holidays with the mountains of food that are in front of us, and how we're going to navigate it successfully. Most of us have track records of failure in this regard, and the question we closed with last segment was, can we really change? So how would you address this whole change challenge?
Super good news after all of the challenges that, yes, indeed, we totally can change. We looked last time about people who had successfully lost weight and how they really struggled during the holidays. there's actually a lot of hope for that. There's this concept that we looked at last time of just being aware that the holidays are high risk, and to really think about who is kind of, what are these new habits that I've formed, and what do they mean to me? And what are they going to mean during the holidays? That is really a key to a new mindset during the holidays. This is something in the scientific world called neuroplasticity, a big fat word that has a lot of potential to make you successful during the holidays. Neuroplasticity.
Well, that sounds definitely like a medical term.
Sometimes it's good to have a name to pin to this of change. So the idea that, you know, neuro, our brain, as plastic meaning moldable or changeable. You know, back when they were first, you know, studying the brain, even in the 1900s, saying, yeah, you cannot have new neurons, you can't have new brain cells. And that actually is downright false. We can literally have new brain pathways, not just new brain pathways, but new brain cells. That's incredibly helpful for people who want to approach the holidays in a new way.
Amazing. New brain cells. That's exciting new news to me. So wonderful.
I think of it like a highway, you know, if you think of like, there's not a lot of big cities in Michigan, but like Detroit, or even go bigger like New York or Los Angeles. Think of how many intersections and huge highways, 5-lane highways. And I mentioned that I did my medical school training down in Loma Linda, which is on the outskirts of Los Angeles. Ginormous highways. And that's very similar to what our brain is like. Wherever the highest traffic choices are that are used the most, they're going to be the most well-maintained highways or pathways in our brain, so to speak. They're very easy to hop on and hop off. They're very smooth, well-maintained roads in our brain. No potholes, which is laughable in Michigan, right?
That's definitely not Michigan way.
our brain makes way better roads than a lot of road engineers.
So the more you make a behavior happen repeatedly, you're saying that the road actually gets wider or better or faster or smoother, something like that, so it becomes more efficient?
All of the above. It makes your brain is like almost, it's sensitized. So if you are used to, you know, eating junk food after work because you're stressed, you may not even realize why you're eating junk food after work, because it's become such a normal pathway for you to just sit down after work and with a bag of chips or, you know, some other crackers or something like that and watch TV. You know, may not even realize that you're de-stressing, but because that pathway is so smooth and so sensitized, all it takes is just a quick thought and bam, the chip bag just suddenly is open and the cookies are in your mouth. You don't even have to like hardly even think about it because it's such a sensitized pathway.
Mm. So making a new pathway, getting out of that habit, there's hope, because if you conscientiously say, I am not going to do that, if I do, I'm going to get carrots instead, as you repeatedly do that behavior, then that new highway becomes a superhighway and the other highway becomes kind of a potholed road, so to say, over time?
Exactly. That's exactly how our brains change. You can literally make all of the pathways and all the thought patterns that had sustained high weight and made it really challenging to become like old dirt paths in the backwoods that are really no longer used.
So as we approach the holidays, we already have some good decision-making place skills in place. And so how can we maintain that through the holiday? Because a lot of times when we get there, we become people of the moment and do as the Romans do in Rome. So when you see everybody else indulging and bulging around you, it's hard not to. So how would we
exactly
help make that transition a success?
Exactly. Yeah. We have to be pretty conscious about it, because now we're approaching a lot of our old thought patterns, you know, maybe family members or people that we've grown up with and had bad habits with.
Okay. So I know in the physical therapy world that people who are prone to back problems, if you conscientiously set your back when you go down and pick something up, so you lock it in extension, it's almost impossible to break the back. But you have to go in with the mindset. So we're talking about going with a mindset here to the holidays as we get to the house. Maybe think to ourselves, you know what? I'm only going to have one piece of pie, or some sort of setting our mind, which will help us to be successful. How does that relate to neuroplasticity?
Exactly. There is four levels of a new habit, and we'll certainly have a whole segment on this. But one approach is to think about it as unconsciously incompetent. That's the stage where I have no idea that I don't have a new skill to eat healthy. I think it's crazy and it's just impossible. The next stage is what you're talking about, is where you're consciously incompetent. It was like, I realize that I really struggle with the holidays, with binging and overeating. But the next stage is what we want to get to, where we are consciously competent. We might even want to write down some index cards with some helpful mindsets going into the family gatherings of saying, I want to be a good example of health for my family. Or I want to go here to build a new relationship with my in-laws. And I'm not going to stand by the food table and look at it really longingly. I'm only going to take one plate of food. Things like that that can be really helpful mindsets walking into the holidays.
Okay. All right, so you set your mind, it's just going to be one plate. So we're talking about practical tips now on ways to succeed when we approach the food table. And excellent tips there. Do you have any others?
There's a whole slew of them. And honestly, if you take time to think about what matters to you at the holidays, you're going to come up with way better ideas than you or I can talk about here on this, in this segment. But let's think about a couple of them. It's maybe in the social situation, if you have a lot of social pressure, you can fall into this cognitive distortion of mind reading that, oh, they're going to feel bad if I don't try all the dishes. What if I don't have Aunt Bertha's cake? She's going to be so hurt. That's actually mind reading, as you don't know how Aunt Bertha's going to respond if you just fill your plate with healthy things and, you know, kind of talk about what your new journey in health has been like. You can also catastrophize pretty easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
And think about how badly the conversation is going to go. You actually don't want to do that. You don't have to be offensive when you don't take a food. There's a whole bunch of choices on that table, and everybody knows that you're not going to be able to eat all of that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I know that culturally there's some things too. I know my family's from Sweden, and they have a big thing. My brothers went over to visit our relatives in Sweden, and they ate early in the morning, and so that as soon as my brothers woke up, they could actually serve them. And they stood around serving them. If the plate was empty, they immediately brought some food over and kind of helped wop some of that onto the plate.
Mm.
So when we're in that kind of cultural setting, then if we're at the point where we're finished, then it might be something to put your fork and your knife and your spoon on your plate so nothing else can come on. And that's a signal, I'm finished. I'm not taking any more food. So we might actually have to signal our families, our friends, that we're through eating. And that might be different cultures, different ways, but that might be an important indicator as well.
That's huge, especially in the cultures where it shows love that you're serving somebody else. There's probably a family member in there that you're close enough that you could say, hey, I'm making a choice to only take one plate. Can you help me out with that? And I'm going to put my fork and my spoon and my napkin on my plate when I'm done. And that's my signal. Can you help me?
Mm, That's a good idea. It also just gives the fact that you verbalized it is reinforcing your decision to do that. And the fact that you put yourself in a position of accountability, telling somebody they're going to help you or say, are you sure you want to take that other piece of pie from what you told me earlier? So that's a great idea. Great idea. Share that, your desire with somebody else that can help you be successful.
Every time you verbalize it, write it on an index card, and even think it in your mind is making that new brain pathway. It makes your brain just a little bit more sensitive to be making healthy choices at the table.
So that kind of reminds me of this text that talks about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that kind of goes along with neuroplasticity.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how we think, our behavior will follow our thinking pattern.
It's interesting how much wisdom the Bible has. We focus so much on a choice, on a diet, this pill, this magic thing that's going to make all the difference in the world, when the Bible really has it right from the beginning, that our choices actually start with our thoughts. They often talk about maybe an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to think about during the Thanksgiving, but maybe an attitude of gratitude and how we approach our view of ourselves, weight, how our relationship is with our food, with our family and friends. We maybe want to have a new attitude and thoughts when we go into this holiday season.
Okay. You know, we don't have time to talk about this because we're running down to 3 minutes here, but there is a whole thing about recognizing that you're valuable in God's eyes and that God has given you high value, and that should have a positive impact on our self-esteem.
Huge. I don't think we realize how much our view of ourselves, our view of God, affects how we eat or how we do recreation or vacation. And there's a really, really good book called Ministry of Healing.
Mm-hmm.
It has three sections. The first gives us our example in Christ. The second section talks about healthy habits, healthy parenting, very holistic health. And then the last section is really a lot of what we're talking right now with how our mindset and our thoughts will affect not just our choices, but once those choices become established as pathways in our brain, they become habits. And the sum of our habits is our character.
Yes.
And the character forms our destiny.
Mm-hmm.
This is powerful to think about during the holiday season. It's not just about one meal. It's about how do we want our thoughts and choices to form the rest of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yep, those habits and character. Character is the only thing you can take to heaven. So that's something that by God's grace we're working on this side of glory. Wonderful. All right, so we are wrapping up. Is there anything you want to say in closing? And then we'll have you have closing prayer before we finish out.
Yeah, I think there's a really great offer that we're able to give to learn more about what we've been talking about during this segment called Ministry of Healing, a great book that if you call in right now, you can get this book for free, a book that really could take your health to the next level, make your holiday season happy and healthy at the same time.
So that phone number would be 231-468-2087. 231-468-2087. Call Strong Tower Radio. Ask for the book Ministry of Healing. It's a free gift from us to you.
I would not miss that offer at all. There's only so much we can talk about in this short segment, and we want each of us to have a healthy and happy holiday season.
Amen.
Why don't we pray as we close to that end? Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for each listener and the holiday season where we can enjoy time with family and friends, a little bit of reprieve from work and our duties. I pray that this holiday season is healing for those who find the holiday season challenging. I pray that they find it healthy, much healthier than
maybe some of the challenges they faced before, and also a happy and an attitude of gratitude during this time. We thank you so much in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Dr. Kim, thank you so much for being our guest on the show today. And listener, I'm going to close out with this passage of Scripture, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. God bless. Happy holidays to all of you. And until we meet again, take care.
To him who Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor from Amazing Facts. Strong Tower Radio is a station that believes in the power of prayer. In the book Steps to Christ, we're told, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it's necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. What a beautiful promise of God's power for our lives. Do you have a special prayer request that you'd like for us to pray for? If so, call us at 877-278-5512 or send an email through our website, strongtowerradio.org. We have a team of prayer warriors standing by to join with you in taking your petitions to the throne of grace. God loves each of us so much, and He's waiting to hear from you.
Thank you for tuning in to Strong Tower Radio Network. Our stations reach from Kalamazoo over to Lansing and up to the Mackinac Bridge, and then west to Ironwood on the border of Wisconsin, and even a station in central Illinois. Our most southerly station is 97.3 W247 AM Kalamazoo. Driving north on 131, you can tune to 91.9 WMJC in Richland. Continuing north on 131, you can tune to 89.7 WNHG Grand Rapids. Driving west from Grand Rapids, you can tune to 93.1 WMPA Ferrisburg. Driving north from Grand Rapids, you can continue to listen to Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 91.9 FM WGCP Cadillac. Driving east from Grand Rapids to Lansing, you can continue listening to Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 1540 AM KTGG Okemos and 104.7 W284 AH Lansing, as well as 92.3 W222 CU Charlotte. Driving north from Lansing, you can continue listening to Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 90.7 FM WBHL Harrison. Continuing your drive north, you can keep listening to Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 93.9 FM WAVC Mayo and 102.7 FM W274BN Alpena. Crossing over the beautiful Mackinac Bridge, you can hear Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 97.9 WIHC Newberry. Driving west of Newberry, Strong Tower Radio can be received by tuning to WUPJ Escanaba on 90.9 FM. Driving further west, tune to 91.3 FM W217CG Ironwood. And lastly, in the heart of the land of Lincoln, tune to Strong Tower Radio on 91.3 FM W217BB Hickory Point. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.